that your pastor could preach very easily. And maybe that's why the Lord has laid it on me. I want to talk tonight about our attitude and our action toward the pastorate. And I don't know why God's put this on my heart, but it is something that I feel that I need to bring tonight. And I ask that you just listen to the Spirit of the Lord, look at the Word of God, and let Him do what He would tonight. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. I want to read two verses here in Hebrews in this message. The first one here is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now the command in this passage is to remember them. Consider them. Think about them. Hold them in your mind in the aspect of prayer and an attitude that you have towards those who have rule over you. This is speaking, I believe, of pastors. And the attitude that you need to have towards your pastor. You know, one of the most important relationships you need to cultivate in the body of Christ is your relationship with your pastor. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13 says, "And we beseech you, brethren," Paul writing here, "to know them which labor among you," to know them that labor among you, "and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you." Now it's interesting, that word admonish is a harsh, sometimes rebuke or an encouragement. It's not always what we like to hear. I know I've been at the business end of many a sermon before in my life, and I didn't always like it. And it's interesting that Paul, as he gives us this admonishment in this passage, that he's saying, these are the ones who have rule over you, who admonish you, sometimes tell you things that are hard that you don't want to hear. Know them, in verse 13, and to esteem them very highly in love. Very highly. Esteem them. Have a respect for them. An attitude of respect and appreciation for them for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. That attitude of respect is one that I believe every person in the body needs to have for their pastor. They need to look at that man and respect him and understand what it is that he knew. And I don't think sometimes people understand what it is that a pastor has to do. The load that necessarily a pastor has to carry. You can see him get up every Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night and teach or preach or whatever it is that they're led to do. And we have sometimes this narrow view of their responsibilities. But when we understand the breadth of what God has called them to do, you can understand why the Apostle Paul says that we are to respect, to esteem them very highly in love. It's not someone in the church that you want to ignore. He's not someone in the church that you want to take lightly. Okay? You know, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to be taking you all over your Bibles tonight. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to talk about what this work is. It says to esteem them highly for their work's sake. We're going to go back to Hebrews 13 here in a little bit. 1 Peter 5, starting in verse 1. "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." This is from Peter, probably toward the end of his ministry, writing to other leaders of the church. He obviously had the experience, the leadership of the Lord to write this. He gives them sort of a brief job description here in this passage. And I want you, as you look at this, to understand and appreciate what it is that a pastor has to do and all the things a pastor has to balance. Starting in verse 2, it says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you." Feed the flock of God. Now that word "feed" is one of those translations in the King James I don't appreciate too much. If you look at that word "feed," you know what it means? It means to shepherd. It's not just throwing the food out. There's a whole lot more to it than just throwing the food out on Sunday morning. When I was new in the ministry, I'm still pretty new, but when I was newer in the ministry, before I was led to Alaska. I went to visit a mission work. They asked me to come and preach, and I went and preached there. And one of the members approached me afterwards. They were without a pastor at the time. They were without a pastor at the time. And they came and they said, we really are interested in you. And, I really have this good feeling about you. We really need a preacher. We need a preacher. We need a preacher to be there on Sunday morning and everything. And it was interesting to me the choice of words they used. He didn't say they were looking for a pastor. He said they're looking for a preacher. And I think that's really unfortunate. Because a church needs more than a preacher. A church needs a pastor. Someone who realizes their job description goes way beyond the pulpit. And it extends all the way out there into the pew. Someone who recognizes their job is not just to stand here and preach hard and yell and carry on at you people from here, but to go and to intersect your lives, to meet you where you are, to find out what your needs are, and to minister to you on a daily basis as there's opportunity. That's the job of a pastor, to bind up the brokenhearted, sometimes to administer that word of rebuke. When the lamb was straying, they had to go sometimes and break its leg, and the shepherd would carry it on its back until its leg was mended and that sheep learned not to wander. Sometimes that's the job that the pastor has to do. And I tell you, the sheep doesn't like it and its leg broke, but that's what the job of a pastor is to go in the Spirit of the Lord and to administer the word as God would have us. Colossians 1:28-29, I think, is sort of a theme, I guess, a ministerial theme. Paul's ministerial theme in his ministry. This is one that I try to internalize in myself. It says, Paul preaching, he says, "Whom we preach, warning and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I labor, striving according to the working which work within me mightily." Paul recognized a threefold ministry of the pastorate. Preaching, teaching, and warning. Now that word warning is the Greek word noutheteo. It means to admonish, to counsel. Some of those things are done publicly. Some of those things Paul said he did from house to house with tears. Going and reaching out to those people to help them, to encourage them on their way. My friend, I don't know all of what this brother does here. But I have a feeling that you don't either. I have a feeling you don't realize all the things that he has upon him in trying to fulfill the ministry that God has given unto him. Amen. Esteem them very highly for their work's sake. Back in 1 Peter 5, it says that the pastor is to feed the flock of God which is among you, shepherd them, taking the oversight thereof. There is a responsibility of leadership there. Now here's the things he has to balance. Not by constraint. That means that we don't force ourselves on people. You can't make people follow you. You can't. Not by constraint, but willing. How do you do that? This passage will explain it a little bit more in a second. Not for filthy lucre. Paul was mentioning, I forget exactly where it is, but he was talking, I think it was in the Philippian letter, that some were preaching Christ out of envy and strife, some out of a pure heart. Either way, Christ is preached, and he rejoiced over that. But the motive behind the pastorship, the pastorate, is not to be filthy lucre. That means sordid gain. Whether that be money, whether that be the pride of trying to have that position of a pastor, that's not to be their motivation. It's supposed to be with a ready mind, with an eagerness, a willingness. It shouldn't matter if he gets paid or not. That doesn't matter. What God has called you to do, you do it. But you have a responsibility to take care of them, don't you? And though what Scripture says, the workman is worthy of his hire. It's not our motivation why we do it, but there is a responsibility of the congregation to esteem them highly in love for the work that they have been given to do. That word of a ready mind or eagerly, I think people sometimes miss this. You know what the first qualification of an elder is? The first qualification mentioned of an elder? 1 Timothy 3:1, if a man desire the office of a bishop. This is not something that you can be made to do. This is something that you have to have a hunger and a burden and a desire placed there by God to do.
Amen.
Eagerness, ready mind. Verse 3, neither is being lords over God's heritage. We don't hold our position over other people's heads, but being examples to the flock. I love that word example. It comes from the Greek word tupos, which is where we get the word type or figure. It literally means a mold into which something else can be poured and formed from that. Now, most people don't think about this when they think of the pastorate, the responsibility that is on them. In fact, most pastors, very honestly, don't want that role. They are supposed to be an example in the way that they live their life so that you can imitate them and their manner of life and be a follower of Christ.
Amen.
That's what Paul said. Over and over and over in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." I don't want a responsibility like that. I don't feel worthy, I guess is the better way to say it. I don't feel worthy of a responsibility like that. But that's the role of a pastor, whether they want it or not. That's the burden that they have to carry. Is that a burden that you would like to carry? You know, it's really easy to be a backseat driver, isn't it? It's really easy, you know, in hindsight to look back and say, boy, you know, that pastor didn't know what he was talking about here. You know, he's not exactly perfect and all those types of things. And it's easy from there to look up here and say, you know, I can see all the mistakes. But how would you like to be in that position where everyone's looking at you, where everyone's looking at your family, where everyone's looking at those things and they're supposed to follow you. They're supposed to be able to pour their lives into that mold and therefore be a follower of Jesus Christ. It's easy to drive backseat, but few people are willing to take the wheel. Back in Hebrews 13, verse 7, it emphasizes that. Remember them which have the rule over you. Hold them high in esteem and love for their work's sake, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. It's saying, follow them. Follow their example. Considering the way that they live their lives. Follow them. You know, that's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Hebrews 13:17, we're going to be looking at that next. It makes it a little stronger. It says, obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves. There's two words there, obey and submit. Again, not suggestions, commandments from God. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Do you realize when you have a bad attitude towards your pastor, do you realize what that does? I've seen that before. I have seen it. I have been there before. I've been there. I've done that. You know what that does when you do that? You know what it does to your family? You know what it does to you first? You know when the preacher preaches and you're sitting there critiquing everything they say, second-guessing everything they say, not following them? You're being disobedient to God. What's that do to your family? You have lost children. I hear you critiquing the pastor. He's preaching the Word of God to them so they can be saved. You have lost friends. You get this bad attitude and you don't get too excited about inviting them out to church because you're mad at your pastor over something. You don't have the right attitude. What are you doing to other people by your attitude when you have that type of attitude? Look at the consequences of those things when we're not obedient to the Scriptures and what God has told us to do. Hebrews 13:17 says we are to obey them that have the rule over us and submit ourselves. Now, where do they get this authority? Where does this authority come from? It comes from God. Do you believe that? Look over in Acts chapter 20, verse 20. I want to show you this. Paul is addressing the Ephesian elders, the pastors. They had a plurality, multiple pastors at that church there in Ephesus. We see that actually pretty frequently in Scriptures. Churches that had more than one pastor. And he's talking to the elders. And I think it's interesting to notice this because it perfectly harmonizes with what we see in Scripture. Take heed therefore unto yourselves. He's talking to these elders. Watch for yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. To feed, again that word feed means the same thing, shepherd, the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. Who is it that made them overseers, elders, pastors of that church? It was the Holy Spirit that did that. You look back earlier in Acts when they ordained Paul and Barnabas. God had called Paul and Barnabas to that work. The Holy Spirit had. And God led those people there at Antioch to ordain them. God was on both sides of it, working it all out. It wasn't those people who decided to do it. It was God. Did you follow the Lord when you elected your pastor? Victory has seen a lot of fruit over the past several years. Has God put him into that position? Then when you do not respect the pastorate and submit to them, you're not just disrespecting him, you're disrespecting God. Amen. You know, you look at Scriptures and the things that happen in Scriptures. The authority of the pastorate comes through the church as it is obedient to the Spirit. You look in Revelations. Those seven stars in Jesus' hand, the vision John had, those are the seven angels. Seven angels comes from the Greek word angelos, which means messenger. Pastors of those seven churches. Who did Jesus speak to get a hold of those churches? You look at each of those letters. You read that. You look in your Bible tonight, Revelations chapter 2 and 3. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write. How did God communicate? How did God communicate with those people in that congregation? It was through the pastor that he was holding in his hand.
Amen.
When you are being disobedient, dishonoring and disregarding your pastor, you are dishonoring and disregarding God. My friend, if you are a member of this church, that's your pastor.
Amen.
You don't have a choice in the matter. I mean, you can all vote to change that, but until that happens, you have a responsibility from God to submit. That doesn't change until the vote happens. My friend, that responsibility is there. It is there from God. You may say, well, he's a man. And he makes mistakes. And you know, I'm sure he does. But that doesn't change your responsibility, does it? You know, if God only blessed us when we were perfect and when we did everything right, we'd be a pretty sorry people, wouldn't we?
Amen.
If God was only going to bless you when you had everything right, how many of you be blessed? Any hands? God is merciful. He's not perfect. I don't think you should have the expectation that he's perfect. That's another reason to pray for him. To remember him. To lift him up before God. Yeah, sometimes you may not agree. Pray for him. Submit. Those are responsible, you know. Back in Hebrews, it tells us, Hebrews 13, 7. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey and submit. So what does that mean? I believe the pastor is to be the leader in the church in spiritual things. I believe the pastor has a responsibility from God not to get involved in everything that comes before the church. But when there is an item that of spiritual value, or even if there's a carnal item that affects the spiritual state of the church, I believe the Scriptures teach that the pastor should provide leadership.
Amen.
I believe the church should look to the pastor to provide leadership. I think it's unfortunate sometimes, and I've never been to a Victory Business meeting, so I don't know how you all do it. But I think it's sometimes unfortunate that the pastors get their hands tied here as a moderator, as a referee, and everyone else is standing and sharing their opinion on spiritual issues, and people don't say, what does the pastor think? People ought to wonder, what does the pastor think? And I think the pastor has a responsibility to share that. Now, that doesn't mean that you're always going to do what he says. But I believe you have a responsibility to find out what he believes on issues of spiritual significance in the church, or if something is going down a path that could disrupt the harmony of the church. Pastor, how should we handle this spiritually? We need to seek those things out. And you know, maybe that's not the direction the church goes. The church can do what the church wants to do. But you know, I believe the church ought to listen very carefully to what the pastor says. I believe the Lord will speak through the pastor. The pastor is in the place that he needs to be. And I believe the church needs to really pay attention to those things. To seek those things out. To want to know what thus saith the Lord. And I believe the pastor should provide those things. It should show scripturally why those things are so. And I believe God will give them the grace to do that. For that's their responsibility. But it teaches in the scriptures that that we should obey and submit, for they watch for your souls. Now, I'm the pastor of that little mission up in Anchorage. And I can tell you how I feel when I see the sheep going astray. I can tell you the pain that I go through in my heart every time I see one of them going down a wrong path. You know, it's not something you can easily brush off. Not something you can easily, you know, just put in a little box and throw it away. My friend, when you're a pastor, it hurts. You feel that pain. You rejoice with them that rejoice, and you mourn with them that mourn, or those that should be mourning. You know, you feel all of those things. And why is that? Because there is a day in which God will look to those messengers, to those watchmen, and will demand from them an account of the way that they have discharged their responsibility as a pastor. I believe there will be a day on which they will have to give account to how they have done the things that God has told them to do. For your soul. For the things that you have done. And it says that they may do it with joy and not with grief. When Pastor Tim has to stand before Jesus himself and give an account for the members of this church, you should obey and submit to him so that he might be able to give that report with joy and not with grief. Why? For that is unprofitable for you. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 33. I want us to look at this passage. While you're turning there, I want to remind you of that passage back in Colossians 1, 28 and 29. Apostle Paul said, whom we preach, warning and teaching every man. Why? That we may present them perfect in Christ Jesus. He had that desire. He knew that there would be a day in which he would have to respond to God, to answer to God for how he fulfilled his apostleship, his ministry. Paul mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that he had a godly jealousy over those people, that he might present them to Christ as a chaste virgin. Now, I can't speak for Pastor Tim, but I know how I hunger and desire to see the work of God completed and the people at that ministry. I want to see Jesus Christ matured and grown in their life. I want to see that. I want to be able to stand before the Lord someday and say, this people that you have allowed me to lead, here they are, and they're ready for you. They've lived their lives, you know, as they learned and they grew. They lived their lives to the best of their ability, and here they are. This is your bride, Jesus. This is that part of your bride. Paul had that godly jealousy. Where does that come from? Ezekiel 33. Again, verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. So in that situation there, if the watchman, the pastor, sees the danger and warns the people, and they don't obey, they don't submit, they don't listen, blood's on your head for not listening. Verse 5, he that heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. Verse 6, But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. You are still responsible for your sin, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. You know what one of the most difficult parts of love is? Loving your brothers and sisters in Christ? Reproving them when they fall into sin? You know that? He which is spiritual, if you see a brother and, you know, falling into sin, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. You know, it seems like when everyone sees sin in the church, rather than going in love, they run to the pastor and tell them. That's what happens again here all the time. They run to me and tell me, what are you going to do about it, pastor? What are you going to do about this person? Well, the Bible says that you have a responsibility for that too.
Amen.
But you know what? That is the most difficult part of love. But God is telling the pastor, when he sees it, and if he doesn't say something, if he doesn't love like that, yeah, you'll still be responsible for your sin, but God's going to require their blood at his hand. How would you like that responsibility? How much do you like approaching people about their sin? You don't like getting confronted about it yourself, do you? It's necessary. In the end, in hindsight, you look back and you appreciate it. But how do you like that? But that's the responsibility required of the pastor. And God will hold them responsible for not doing that. In verse 7 here, it says, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me." Who is it speaking to the watchman? The Lord. The Lord is speaking to the watchman, and he will warn them from him. Are you listening to the voice of the watchman? Are you heeding the voice of the watchman? Are you respecting and admiring the position of your pastor the way that you should? You know, one of the greatest ways that you can bless him is to pay him that respect, to pay his family that respect. You want to bless your pastor? Bless his family. You all have blessed me immensely this week by your love toward my wife and my children. I want to tell you that. You know where the pastor goes when his heart's broke and he needs to talk to somebody? He talks to the Lord. And he talks to his wife. Don't they? Don't you talk to your wives? You men? Share your heartaches with them sometimes? They have to carry those burdens too. Now it's on the pastor's shoulders, but they are helpers. Necessary helpers to the pastors. And sometimes they don't tell them all the things that we see and hear. They can't handle it. But you want to bless us? You bless them. You bless our children. Those things are a blessing to us because our hearts are intricately connected to them. We need to respect. We need to submit. We need to do all of those things that God has called us to do. It's a God-given responsibility. If you don't do it, you're not just disrespecting them. You're disrespecting God. That's the message on my heart tonight. And I hope that for whatever that was for, that God uses it and accomplishes his purpose in it. Because I know God wants to bless this place. He is blessing this place. This is a wonderful place. This is a wonderful people. And I meant that message in no harshness or rebuke. Simply, God do with it what he will. I have the utmost love and respect for this people. You all are wonderful to us. I'd offer it back to Pastor Tim. I'm not sure if he wants the pulpit right now. He wants me to close things out, and that's fine.